Psalm 85, once again, we are speaking on the topic of revival. And last week we began our discussion here in Psalm 85 about revival. First of all, I would like to remind you again of a definition, if you will, as simple as that, the subject of revival. When praying for revival, we are praying for an increased spiritual interest within the church, within the body of Christ. And as I've been thinking back over that a bit, I don't know that we haven't already begun. Because there are quite a few of you. I haven't had conversations with all of you, so I'm sure the group may be larger than the ones I've spoken with, but there are several of you, many of you have already begun with what could be termed an increased spiritual interest, meaning your heart has been turned more and more toward the love of God's word and study and prayer, attending Bible studies, that conversation, that kind of thing. The second one is revival is a renewal in the life of the church, meaning that the church takes on this newness of life where things in the church just seem to be working differently. The people's attitudes, the people involved, etc., etc. Again, in sort of a reflection, appraisal kind of thing, looking into that term and looking at the church, yes and no. Yes and no. There is some renewing, but to say that we've taken on an entire renewal across the breadth of the church, then we're not there yet, but on our way, hence the continued praying for revival. But at its core, what is revival? It is the restoration of the church to a vital and fervent relationship with God. And folks, this is personal. This is you and me. Revival in a church doesn't begin at the church level and work its way down into the people. The revival in a church works at the grassroots, works in the lives of individuals, and then it grows out into the church. So, again, to assess that, I would have to say I can't. Again, I see things, hear things, but only you know where you are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And on that maturity scale, where are you? But if you feel like you're at the top of that scale, then let me get you a new scale, because there's plenty to go. Last week I asked, what does it mean to pray for revival? Well, it means to pray for these things. It means to pray for our brothers and sisters in the church that we all, each individually, grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ into a more intimate, into a much closer bond with Jesus Christ. And we pray for that. We pray that there is renewal across the breadth of the church, that not one person who calls New Sterling home would be outside that effect of the Holy Spirit working in the church, and we do see that renewal across the breadth of the church. To pray for revival means that we all have an increased spiritual interest. We give ourselves more diligently to Bible study. We give ourselves more diligently to prayer. We give ourselves more diligently to, as I mentioned in the prayer, church attendance, the means of grace, fellowship, these things. I also ask the question, where does revival come from? We can't plan it. We can't arrange it. We pray for it. But revival truly comes from the hand of God, the Holy Spirit working in us. So, last week I began with Psalm 85, the first three verses, was showing what God had done in the past. Now I'd like to read to you, I'll read to you the entire psalm, but then this week we're going to concentrate on verses 4 through 7. The inerrant holy word of our God. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. As I said last week, we asked, where does revival come from? And we answer that by saying, God. This week, I'd like to ask another question. What actually brings about revival? Not who, we've resolved that, we've answered that question. It is God working in his people. It is God working through the Holy Spirit in individuals that brings about revival. Now I'm asking what? What is done? What is accomplished? What does God do in a people to revive them? What does God do in me to revive me? What are the initiating steps done by God to revive a people? Here in this psalm, I think we get a portion, if not a very good look, at that answer. Again, I direct your attention to verse 4 through 7. The psalmist is praying, "Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us." There's a clue. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Please note the actions requested, prayed for by the people. Restore, put away your displeasure, basically put away your anger, revive again, and then show us your love. These are the things done by God that I believe bring about revival. The recalling of the previous mercy of God that we've done in the first three verses is followed by the prayer of renewal. They are asking, Father, just as you renewed, just as you were merciful to our fathers, just as you forgave them years ago, please come and show that same mercy upon us. Do that by turning us. Remember this word revive, as I pointed out last week. The turned away from anger, restore us, and the word revive are all based in the same verb, which means to turn. So there's this physical turning. They are praying, God, will you please turn me toward you, put away your anger, and draw me close. Very simply, the people are praying for renewal through God removing his displeasure from them. So if I ask the question, what begins to bring about revival in the people? We see it here. The people are praying for renewal, but at the same time they're saying, God, please put away your displeasure from us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong this judgment against us? And we know God, being rich in mercy toward his people, will not. And so this begins to answer the question. What brings about revival? It is the work of God. But what is God doing? He's bringing his Holy Spirit into the people. And what happens to a people when the Holy Spirit begins to work? John Calvin put it best. When you get closer to God and when you know more about God, you begin to know more about yourself. And when you begin to know more about yourself, you begin to know more about God. Well, what is it that you begin to know about yourself? And what is it that you begin to know about God? His greatness and your failure. Folks, this psalm is telling us, is showing us that these people come to grips with their sin, confess that sin, and then plead for God to put away his displeasure. Verse 5 is a subpart of the same issue. The psalmist prays in verse 5, "Will you be angry with forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations?" They're asking, "Will you draw out this anger? You relented and blessed our fathers. Will you not relent and bless us again?" And they pray, "Revive us again." Revive. Again, this idea of turning. But really what they are saying is turning. Turning from what and to what? From what and to what? We got this idea of turning. Well, it is turning from death to life. Sin is death. The sinfulness of man leads to death. The sinful bondage that we're held in before the love of Jesus Christ was death. And so this turning that they are praying for is turn us from the effects and the characteristics of deadness to the characteristics of life and living. Jesus said, "I have come," for what reason? To give you life and to give it to the full. Folks, that's revival. Understanding, comprehending, and growing fully in the life that Jesus Christ has for us. Not playing at this, not going about the motions, not showing up and saying, "I'm here." But living a life that is vigorously and passionately given to Jesus Christ. That's life. Remember the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones I referred to last week. Let's dig in a little bit. If you would, join me in Ezekiel chapter 37. I will not be one who is guilty of preaching through the book of Ezekiel. Just go ahead and write that down. But I will go there periodically. Psychologists today, they read the book of Ezekiel and just promise you that he was a lunatic, completely lost. But he knew God. He knew God, and he was prophesying to the nation of Israel in some very strange ways. But as I said, I will not be one guilty of preaching through the book of Ezekiel, but we will go there. But this story of the Valley of the Dry Bones, if there's any chapter in Ezekiel, this one in over in verse 42 and 46, you need to get in there. But here, listen to this story. And keep in your mind this moving from deadness to life that God brings us through the work of the Holy Spirit, of which we are praying for in our prayers for revival. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' And he said to me, 'Prophesy,'" which means to preach, "'prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these dry bones. I will make you breathe. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. Then I will open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. and I will settle you in your own land, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This very odd but beautiful picture of a prophet of the Lord, of God Almighty, preaching to the people, and life begins to enter into them. Breath comes into them at the preaching of the word. How will we find revival? Through the preached word. How will we find revival? Through the preached word, bringing life through the Holy Spirit into his people, just like these dry bones in this old valley. You know, sometimes I think we begin to hear some rattling around in here where some old dry bones begin to move. And then we begin to see life. And then we begin to see breath. Then we begin to see them working in the church. And we go, where'd you come from? Well, I've been here. You've been rather quiet. Oh, but I'm here now. Life begins to move in the church. And we see that renewal. This is what we're praying for. This is what we're praying for. This beautiful picture of Ezekiel preaching to the people, and the breath of life through Jesus Christ comes into us, and we are not what we once were. Before Jesus Christ, we were all a pile of dry bones. But now with Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit, we have life. So I ask the question, what brings about revival? Surely we see it here in Ezekiel 37, and if we couple that with Psalm 85, we can see that God is putting away his displeasure. He's not being angry forever. He's not prolonging his anger, and he's breathing life into the deadness of our lives and turning these people toward him. In the psalm, the people are praying, turn us, O God, of our salvation. Turn us away from our iniquity. Turn us away to thyself and to your duty. Turn us and we shall be turned. But see, here's the connection. They prayed for the turning. And they also prayed that God would turn away his displeasure. We pray for God's grace. And there is a certain method to this. First, there is the turning to God, and then the anger of God being turned away. When the people are reconciled to God, then and not till then can people expect the comfort of his renewal. Hear me clearly. This psalm teaches us that when the people are reconciled to God means that you are in good standing with God through Jesus Christ. That means that you have confessed your sin. That means that you have gone through your life through the work of the Spirit and you've put away those things. Those things that labor, those things that burden you. Yes, we may falter from time to time. That's the reason I have confession every week. But that takes an honest, earnest, inward honesty. And saying, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. Being reconciled to God in the name of Jesus Christ, then I can expect, just as I can expect forgiveness of sin, I can expect his renewal. I can expect his revival. But where does all of this come from? What is the root? What is the basis? We've talked about the who and the where and the what, but what is really at the base? What is really at the root of this working of God in us and us having the ability, desire to pray for revival? Look at verse 7 of 85. Psalm 85, verse 7. What does the psalmist pray for? Show us your unfailing love. Show us your unfailing love. Today in the 9:15 time, this is another one of them Holy Spirit things. Today in the 9:15 time, Linda picks out the songs, I'm sure, Tuesday or Wednesday of the week, somewhere in there. Her theme this week was the love of God. And that's what we have here. The root of our revival prayers, the root of God working toward us, is his unfailing love. And this is where revival comes from, the essence of God, his unfailing love, where he does indeed remove his displeasure, where he does indeed stop his anger toward us. It is out of his love and his compassion for a child that he sends his Spirit to us, and we begin feeling and seeing and knowing of that revival. Lamentations 3 says he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. Psalm 44, rise up and help us, rescue us because of your unfailing love. That's our prayer. Rescue us, not because we deserve it, but because of your unfailing love and the covenant and promises you have made. When we pray for revival, we are praying for God to turn away his displeasure. That means we must confess our sin and put ourselves totally in his care. When we pray for revival, we are praying for God's grace to be shown in our lives through his grace and mercy. His grace and mercy extended to us out of that origin of his love. So in reality, when we pray for revival, we are praying, verse 7, show us your unfailing love, O Lord. Show us your unfailing love. We are in sinners. We are sinners in need of your care. We are sinners in need of your grace. Show us your unfailing love. There is what brings about revival.